And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, he's returning, Jeff Sands, Community Relations Coordinator, the Public Information Officer, we should say, for the Delaware Emergency Management Agency, a.k.a. DEMA. Welcome back.
Good morning, Laura. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, last time you came in here, we talked about hurricanes, because the hurricane season was coming up, the official start. Since then, we've had some bad weather, not as bad as we could have had, but we have had some terrible weather issues lately. But let's recap with what is DEMA?
Sure. So we're the lead state agency for emergency response, preparedness, mitigation, and recovery efforts. And basically that means that we're in charge of all parts of disasters. So we're here to help the state prepare. We're here to help the state respond to a disaster and then recover afterwards. We have about 50 employees, and our office is located in Smyrna, right on the side of Route 1.
And this is not just for the people. This is for our businesses, too. You're there to make sure that we get back in business as fast as possible as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about the whole community in emergency management, and that concept is really everybody. You know, it's government, it's local businesses, it's the citizens, and just making sure that everybody's prepared and can help recover after a disaster.
Well, as of October 24th, we had a major disaster declaration approved, and that was for this region thanks to Tropical Storm Ida. So do we want to talk a little bit? Well, let's talk about Ida. What happened here in Delaware?
Sure. So in Delaware, we got a glancing blow, really, from the remnants of Hurricane Ida, which really wreaked havoc down on the Gulf Coast. And interestingly, it wasn't even a tropical storm anymore by the time it hit us. It was a lower level. But we still saw historic flooding on the Brandywine River. It crested, you know, somewhere around 23 feet, which is just absolutely incredible. And we saw some pretty devastating flooding, in particular in the east side of Wilmington. And then some areas around Hagley Museum as well.
And what was the ramification on this? I mean, why the disaster declaration?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And one of the things that we like to do after a disaster is we try to assess what the needs of the community are. And this area, particularly in Wilmington that was hit, it was really dramatic. You know, we had several square blocks, and people's homes were devastated. They had significant flood damage. A lot didn't have insurance. And so one of the issues is, you know, how can we help these folks? And so the state can only do so much. We brought resources to bear from the Department of Health and Social Services. We helped the city of Wilmington kind of support cleanup efforts, brought volunteer organizations to bear to really help those folks who were displaced. But that can only go so far. So at some point, we need some assistance from the federal government. And so Governor Carney on September 17th requested a major disaster declaration from FEMA. And what that does is that brings additional help from the federal government to bear.
What is your relationship with FEMA?
So it's an interesting question. So FEMA is the federal version of DEMA, basically. So they're in charge of emergency preparedness and emergency management for the federal government. And then we are the state version of FEMA.
It's really, you're like the one wrangling the cats. Is that it? I mean, I don't know how to describe it any better, but you're the one who's looking at all of the various players, and that can include those who have suffered the damage, those who are looking for help in recovery, and then there are the people who are going to come in and actually do the construction work or the mitigation work and work with insurance companies, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really kind of conducting the orchestra.
So, that's much better than herding
cats.
Yeah,
absolutely. So we're the ones that are really coordinating all the different pieces from local government, nonprofits, private sector, and the federal government, and trying to bring all those resources to bear.
I like conducting the symphony. That is a lovely metaphor for this. But now, who are the instruments that you're dealing with? Are these the volunteer group? I know that you've got a group that are dedicated to DEMA, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that again. But are these contractors who have already relationships with the state, or are these people that homeowners are bringing in, and then you come in afterwards? How does it all work?
Sure. So that's a great question. You mentioned the VOAD, or Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. And Delaware has a chapter of that called DEVOAD. And they're a great organization that's really bringing together groups such as the Salvation Army, church groups, just all kinds of different organizations, even such as Team Rubicon, which is a veterans organization that's active nationwide. And they bring all of these groups to bear to really go do some of that boots on the ground recovery work, helping people clean up. They were mucking out houses in Wilmington's east side, helping to remove moldy drywall, really doing some of that hands-on labor that maybe they're picking up where the state leaves off. So great partnership with them. If people are interested in learning more about how they could get their organization involved with VOAD, you can go to our website and learn more from there.
But now, so my house has been damaged. I can't live in it. Maybe it's a mildew issue. Maybe it's still wet. Or the walls are actually, they've collapsed. How do you get involved with them? At what point do you start conducting those instruments?
Sure. So very early on, the day of, the efforts were really focused on rescue. So the Wilmington Fire Department rescued over 200 people from homes in the area, which is pretty incredible. There were boats from as far south as Bowers Beach, Delaware, fire department boats that came up and were helping to rescue people. So a really dramatic kind of rescue effort on that first day. And then from there, it really starts to transition into recovery. And so we were working very closely with our partners at the Wilmington Office of Emergency Management, with Newcastle County Emergency Management, and really kind of getting boots on the ground with the Department of Health and Social Services and other agencies to try to assess what the needs were of the community. Some shelters were opened up, assisting residents who were displaced with hotel rooms and things along those lines. So very early on, we're doing what are called damage assessments. So basically walking or driving around the area to kind of assess the overall situation and how widespread the damages are. And from there, we make a determination on whether there's enough grounds to potentially ask for that federal assistance. And it became pretty clear that there was. So from there, it's a matter of getting the hard data to kind of support our assertion that there should be a disaster declared here. And then we provide that information to FEMA. And ultimately, the president makes the decision whether there was a disaster declaration or not. So the good news is from this is that, on October 24th, we finally received that major disaster declaration from the federal government. And that brought a number of different pieces to bear. The first part that you talked about, if you're a homeowner, one of the challenges we had is the state enacted a program where we could provide some basic assistance with cleanup. We could provide some assistance with, say, insurance deductibles, things along those lines to try to help people recover. But the real support would have been in the form of what's called individual assistance from FEMA. And this is a piece of the disaster declaration that we requested, but unfortunately it wasn't determined to be enough of a need in the city of Wilmington and in Newcastle County. And unfortunately, FEMA did deny that piece of it. But the pieces that we did get approved, which are very good, are what's called public assistance. And public assistance really is kind of a misnomer. If you say public assistance, you think it's there to help the public. But really what it's there to do is to help state and local government and private nonprofits with damages, with repairs, and building back stronger. So that's one program that's been brought to bear. What's great about that is that our partners such as, Hagley and other, museums, nonprofits, things like that that suffer damages potentially have a route to get some reimbursement and to help rebuild. So that's good news. If you want to get more information about how to apply for public assistance, and once again, this is specifically for local government, nonprofits, and state government, those organizations can apply through our website at dema.delaware.gov, and they can get more information there as well. And then the other good news is that this public assistance could potentially, help those citizens who were displaced because this is helping the organizations that helped them. So that's good news. One of the other pieces is something called hazard mitigation. And so, I mentioned previously that we had a 23-foot crest of the Brandywine River. So the question becomes, we saw flooding in an area that had never seen flooding before. Historically, that area of Wilmington has never flooded like this. And so what do we do for the next time? You know, we talked about it was a busy year for storms. What about future storms? You know, it seems like they're happening more and more frequently. And so what can we do to try to limit the impact of future storms or even prevent flooding like this in the future? And so hazard mitigation grants can come in and basically help to potentially stave off future disasters. So there could be projects to help, you know, whether it's build a wall or something along those lines, raise properties to try to help prevent a similar impact in the future. And those projects are definitely a huge benefit as we continue to experience this climate change.
So we wait until after the bridge has gone or after the water has crested at an historic level. And then we go, oh, well, now we're going to do something about it. So is that in rebuilding it better, or is that actually coming up with something new and unique, something different?
Yeah, it could be either. And so I think that that's kind of where the creativity of engineers and the people that do a lot with stormwater runoff, they're the ones that are the experts, and they're going to hopefully have some projects that can help prevent this from happening in the future.
I've joined the force here. Are we working with these experts ahead of time and now? Does your agency do that, work with stormwater people and look and say, oh, all right, we've got a storm coming. We know we've got X number of gallons that has to be displaced or it's going to go here. I mean, do you plan ahead for something like that?
Absolutely. And it's a huge part of what we do and what a lot of other agencies do as well. So the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, DENREC, they're the ones that are the kind of lead agency in the state of Delaware for dealing with the floodplain. And they've got some great tools. You can go to their Delaware Flood Planning tool, which is de.gov/floodplanning. And what's great about that is you can look up your property, you can look up your business, and you're going to get information about whether you're in a flood zone or not. You're going to get information about how you can get more assistance, potential projects that could help you. So it's a great tool, and it's something that they're definitely considering all the time. We're considering in our plans, and DelDOT is as well. I mean, roadways, you know, as we continue to see more and more roads being built, and it seems like everything's always under construction in Delaware, and more properties cropping up everywhere, the runoff from these storms becomes a greater issue. And so it's something that we definitely prioritize, and we're trying to work proactively to help prevent future incidents.
Do you work with zoning laws, zoning lawmakers, and with, I should say, you know, the boards that are actually overseeing development before they put in that huge non-porous parking lot or they finish developing the bottom of a gully, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we recently had some public commentary about a proposed hotel down in Rehoboth, right along the beach. And so, you know, these things that we need to be thinking about and we need to be talking about and trying to encourage people to build stronger, to build smarter, and try to do their part. And we're going to do our part to try to make sure that everybody builds as smart as they can.
Mm-hmm. And they won't. So you're guaranteed a job. You know that. Now, when you go and you look at the flood planning, I mean, so are these those kinds of computer modules that actually can, what's the word I'm looking for here? Where, you know, those models.
Yeah, modeling, absolutely.
Yeah. Is that what they're doing? Can they actually do that and give you a heads up so that a week out you start assembling your orchestra, and as the days move on, you either dismiss or bring more and more people in ready for it?
Yeah, it can be a challenge for individual storms. I think it's more looking holistically at the impacts of climate change and sea level rise and things like that. You know, we know that there's the potential that if the current trends continue, that about 20% of Delaware could be underwater in the next 100 years. So that's a pretty staggering statistic, and it's something that we think is important to talk about. And so, you know, if we talk about sea level rise, Bowers Beach, Delaware, believe it or not, has the fastest sea level rise in the East Coast. So it's pretty amazing that we're witnessing, and being how coastal Delaware is, we're really on the front lines of this climate change issue. And so it's important for us to take that into consideration, to look at the models, to figure out what we can do to help mitigate that and try to make sure that we're keeping the folks in this state safe going
forward. There went my next question, because I was going to ask, are we exceptionally vulnerable here in Delaware? And it sounds like, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not, Delaware's pretty flat. I'm not sure if you've seen a lot of mountains in Delaware, but they don't exist. And what's interesting is that we're actually the flattest state. So right off the bat, we're on the coast, we're very flat. There's definitely a significant risk of both coastal flooding as well as what we saw, you know, in Wilmington, some of these floods, you know, of rivers and other, you know, estuaries and things like that that have the potential to flood.
Now, I've seen Iowa, and I'm from Ohio. Really? Delaware is the flattest state?
Well, when I say flattest, we're the lowest lying state. We're the sixth flattest state, and Florida's number one, believe it or not.
I've been to Iowa. Do we beat them?
We definitely beat them. Yeah, they don't even make the top 10. So, unfortunately, here we are.
So that doesn't bode well for us to be the lowest lying state in the country and one of the flattest.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really shows why we need to be paying attention to this climate change and why we need to be planning ahead.
I had no clue about that. No clue. So, if you are just joining us, this is Focus on the Delaware Valley, and we're scaring ourselves today with Jeff Sands. He is the Public Information Officer, Community Relations Coordinator for the Delaware Emergency Management Agency, DEMA. And for more information about what we're talking about today, go to their website, DEMA.delaware.gov. When we go to your website, what do we find there?
There's a lot of great information on our website, Laura. So there's information about how you can prepare. It's going to take you to the Prepare DE website. It talks about how you can make a plan, you can make a kit, you can stay informed, ways to keep yourself and your family safe. There's information about some of the services that we provide, links to a lot of our different partner organizations. And we talk about some of the different hazards that exist in the state.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're going to share them because we're going to talk about preparedness for the coming fall and winter seasons. But first, I mentioned keeping our economy going because that's a big charge for you is, you know, recovery is having a job and being able to buy and sell, et cetera. How are you working with that? Do you work with agencies and partners?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so one example is if you remember a few months ago, there was a bit of a fuel crisis on parts of the East Coast and the Southeast. There was an issue with some cybersecurity in the pipeline. The main fuel pipeline had a little bit of an issue. And so we were working with our partners to help make sure that there's going to be fuel at the pumps for everybody. Because if you don't have the fuel, you're not going to be able to get around. That's important. And one other example is, you know, with the recent flooding in Wilmington at the beginning of September, we're working with our federal partners and bringing some support to bear for local businesses, nonprofits, and things along those lines. And there's loans available now, disaster loans through the Small Business Administration. There's assistance through the IRS at the end of the year when you file your taxes. Because there was a disaster declaration, you can now claim some extra things and get a little more money back, which is great. And so we're working with our partners, you know, local businesses, nonprofits, and just trying to do everything we can to help keep the businesses rolling.
You alluded to a cybersecurity issue, which made me remember that you also work with Homeland Security, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually an agency within the Delaware Department of Safety and Homeland Security. So along with the Delaware State Police and a number of different other agencies, Homeland Security is a big part of what we do. And so we actually have a whole terrorism preparedness section at DEMA that oversees a lot of different grants, and they help with terrorism planning and trying to help organizations prepare and hopefully prevent different types of terrorist activities.
Oh, so if someone takes down our power grid, you're going to be on the front lines helping to restore. Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's see. Now, how can we scare ourselves some more? Are we expecting a bad winter? I mean, I'm sure you know better than I do. You're checking, obviously, these modules. How does the coming fall and winter sound?
I think it's going to depend. And so, you know, they're suggesting that it might be a little colder than average in kind of the Midwest, and we might be about average. But I think it really depends. And one reason that I say that is there was a nor'easter that came through in the last few days. We got a glancing blow, but New England really got walloped. And they had, you know, hurricane force winds from what traditionally wouldn't see that kind of damage. You know, almost 500,000 people in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts without power, and still a day later without power. So what I want to encourage you to do is to think about, you know, as an individual and as a family, The different hazards that are out there. And, you know, winter storms starting to get into the cold time of year, it's important to plan ahead. And, you know, my parents were without power in Massachusetts for, you know, 12 plus hours. And they were really lucky that it's not cold yet, because think about what you would do if you didn't have power in the winter. You know, if you don't have a generator, if you don't have a way to stay warm, you know, I think a lot of people kind of get into this false sense of security. Oh, I'd just get in my car, or I'd go to a friend's house. Well, what if everybody's without? I had the chance to go down to North Carolina for Hurricane Florence and the aftermath of that. And some of the areas that we were working in were without power for over a month. So you have no refrigerator, you have no food. You know, the gas stations don't have power to pump fuel. So I just want to encourage people to really take a hard look at some of the different risks and think about what you could do to help prepare for them. Whether it's a cybersecurity incident, whether it's a winter storm, you know, we talked about hurricanes already, or even just a fire in your neighborhood. What can you do and how can you prepare? There's a lot of great information on our website, and we're going to tell you three basic things: make a plan, make a kit, and stay informed. And I think that it's a great time to kind of review all of those different things now that we're having a changing of the seasons. If you have an emergency kit, you should start thinking about putting some of the cold weather gear and other things in there to try to keep you warm. You know, fuel oil costs, we're seeing potentially up to a 50% increase. I'm sure you've seen it in the headlines in fuel costs over the winter. So for people that heat their homes, it's going to be expensive. And so, you know, what happens if you can't afford to pay for your heating bill? What happens if there's a natural disaster and you don't have power or you don't have heat? Think ahead about these things. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Do you have something as a backup that you can use? And just talking about fuel oil assistance, you know, we know that times are still tough for people following COVID-19. There's still financial challenges out there and people are struggling to survive. So there's some state and federal programs that can assist if you're having a hard time paying for your heat. And you can go to the Department of Health and Social Services website. That's dhss.delaware.gov. And there's more information about their energy assistance program that can potentially help pay for some of those costs. So maybe if you're a senior and you're on Medicare, and you know, you can't pay the rising costs, or you know, you're struggling financially because you're out of work, there's some programs that can help. And I think that if we can stay warm, that's an important first step to making sure that you get through the winter okay. And then we can start talking about some of the other things to help prepare for with regard to storms.
Well, you recommend that we keep an eye on each other, especially during the really cold days when people might not be able to heat their homes. Is forming a non-COVID but a bubble a part of the plan?
It's important. So I think that, you know, making sure that neighbors are checking on neighbors, right? I think that in some places we've gotten away from getting to know, you know, everybody at a community level. I grew up in a neighborhood where we knew everybody. You know, I was playing in all my friends' houses. And I think that still exists somewhat, but we've also kind of gotten a little bit away from that as a society. So I think if we just take a minute and safely check in on our friends and family, make sure they're okay. If you know you have an elderly neighbor maybe that doesn't have any family around, check in on them and just see if they need anything. You're going to help them potentially stave off a disaster. So always a good thing to do. Plus, it's just nice.
I never even thought about it, but you know, those neighborhood groups, there's a lot of stuff that can be shared, you know, word of mouth.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really important. Yeah.
Staying informed. That was one of the third things that you said.
That's it. Absolutely. And I think that it goes beyond that too. Just keeping an eye on the weather and knowing, is a storm coming? You know, do we have some weather that might potentially knock out power? And then can you plan a little bit for what would happen if you do lose power? Just basic things like that. Do you have some flashlights? Do you have a backup battery to charge your cell phone so that you can call for help if you need it or stay in touch with family? Do you have some food that you could eat that's maybe not, you know, refrigerated? It's something that's in your cabinet. All these little things are really important and can go such a long way for helping you make it through, whether it's an overnight storm or something a little longer in duration.
Is there a suggested number of days that you should plan on preparing for?
Yeah, 3's a good start. So we suggest that you plan for 3 days worth of food and water. People a lot of times don't think about the water piece of it, but it's something that's really important. And so making sure that every family member and pet has 3 days worth of food and water. And there's some areas along the Gulf Coast that are going longer than that. Now they're saying, you know, maybe upwards of 7 days, because it just depends how hard hit an area is and how long it might take to get assistance.
When we go to your website, are we actually going to find information about how to prepare a kit?
Absolutely, yeah. So there's a whole preparedness page for the state of Delaware. It's called preparede.org. But you can just go to our website, which is dema.delaware.gov. It'll link you right there, and you can learn about how to prepare for different types of disasters. There's checklists, suggested stuff to put in your kits, things to think about. And the most important thing is just to talk about it with your family, come up with a game plan, have a kit, and then make sure that you stay informed and know what's going on.
Now, I question, because I know that one of the things that is recommended on this is getting vaccinated, getting a booster. And of course, now it dawns on me, you sure don't want to be sick and stranded.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about, you know, emergency shelters, if you needed to leave your home because of a natural disaster, I mean, it's a condensed area with a lot of people. And so getting vaccinated is really helpful. If you can stay healthy and avoid being, you know, bedridden or just really impacted by something like COVID-19 or even the flu, you know, it's really helpful. It's going to help you be more resilient. It's going to help your family be more resilient. And I think it's a really important thing to consider. So if you haven't gotten vaccinated yet, definitely consider it. If you're eligible for a booster shot, you should get it. I think it's really helpful to help keep you safe. And then don't forget, it's flu season, so make sure you get a flu shot as well.
And DHSS was on just a few weeks ago talking about flu season. We keep forgetting about it because last year's COVID managed to help us not spread the flu as well, but it is out there, and the flu shots are available and they are free. We're getting down to the wire here. So what should we be taking away from this conversation? We're at the beginning of November.
So a couple of things to think about, Laura. So first and foremost, you know, our announcement that the major disaster declaration was approved for Delaware for Hurricane Ida. So there's some important resources for nonprofits, for businesses, for local government, and for individuals. And so you can go to our website and learn more about some of the resources that are available to help you out. And that's dema.delaware.gov. You said we're almost in November, which is very true, and it's getting to be a little chilly. You know, you can feel that fall air, and the leaves are starting to change, and so it's a great time for you to think about preparing for winter, making sure that you're ready for any kind of emergency that may happen, whether it's a blizzard or just a power outage. And so make a plan, make a kit, stay informed. You can get more information about how to prepare on our website, which is preparede.org. And just I would encourage you to really do a good assessment of your situation and help your family stay safe.
And information about VOAD is there as well. If I'm part of a community group, my neighborhood, my church group.
Yeah, that's such an important thing to mention too, Laura, because at the end of the day, neighbors can help neighbors. And so I think that if you've got an organization that likes to give back and wants to help out, whether it's during a disaster or during everyday life, I would say that you can look into more information about the Delaware VOAD, which is Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. There's a link on our website, dema.delaware.gov, and you can learn more about how to help.
And you train them.
We do. We work very closely with them, and we help incorporate them. Like you said before, we're conducting the orchestra, and so they're a piece of it, a very important piece of it, and we love working with them.
And again, for more information about everything from VOAD to how to prepare for the coming winter, and for more information about the assistance that's available for the local governments and nonprofits and area businesses, it's all found at dema.delaware.gov, and that's DEMA, D-E-M-A, for Delaware Emergency Management Agency, dema.delaware, spelled out, .gov. My guest today, Jeff Sands, he is the Public Information Officer and Community Relations Coordinator for the Delaware Emergency Management Agency, DEMA. You're going to come back?
Absolutely.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.